spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
CannabisRadio.com presents The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Hey, this is great, man. Well, on the
earth. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Thursday, March 3rd, 2016, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Welcome to the show, everybody. Glad to be back here at Roller J Studios in beautiful Legal Potland, Oregon. I've completed all of my medical appointments. Everything is clean as a whistle. At least that's what the doctor says. Everything's looking good. The colonoscopy is all good. Nothing turned out to be bad. No sorts of cancers. One polyp, they cut that one out. They're going to take a look at it, but they don't think there's anything bad with that. So let me encourage you men listening to me right now, if you're in your 40s, approaching your 50s, get your colonoscopy done. Get it done. Dental work is more troublesome than a colonoscopy. Literally, I went into this place. They had me take off the clothes, put on the gown, lay sideways on the table. They had an IV hooked up to me. They were explaining to me what they were about to do. Next thing you know, I wake up in the recovery room. I slept through the whole thing, didn't feel a thing, didn't know a thing. It was painless. It was easy. The hardest part was getting ready for it. You got to kind of fast beforehand and take a lot of laxatives and that kind of stuff. But nothing worse for me than I've experienced with ghost pepper salsa. So I guess I was already prepared for such a thing. So don't be embarrassed. Don't be afraid. Get it done. And the life you save could be your own. All right. For today's show, all sorts of great stuff that we're going to cover on today's show. In our Behind the Headlines segment, we're going to go back to the Southwest Cannabis Conference and Expo, speak with Nisha Whiteley and Ian Ben Weiss. They are going to tell us all about MyChronicRelief.com and CannaProfessors.com. Some interesting stuff. Their story's quite compelling. Also, we'll have a Ladies of Legalization segment. We sat down with Kate and Hannah from the Dallas Women's Grow chapter. And of course, Women Grow having their event here in Portland tonight. They always do it on the first Thursdays here in Portland. I don't know where they do it in your area, but check out Women Grow on the net if you're interested in getting involved with one of the fastest growing, most dynamic activism groups out there and industry networking groups, I should say. Then at the end of the show, we are going to dedicate the entire last half hour of the show today to the radical rant, because I don't know if you've been following me politically on Huffington Post. I write for Huffington Post blog, and I posted something in the politics section on why I will not vote for Hillary Clinton. And it's one of my most read pieces ever. It's gotten over 50,000 shares last I looked. So we're going to talk about that. And as members of the cannabis community, should we withhold our votes if Hillary Clinton becomes the nominee, especially if she's the nominee against Donald Trump? That's not to say that Bernie Sanders is out of this thing. A lot of states that definitely favor Bernie Sanders are coming up on the primary calendar. So this thing ain't over yet. And remember, Hillary Clinton didn't concede to Barack Obama until June of 2008. So there's still a long ways to go. We're still feeling the burn here at the Russ Belville Show. Also on the show, of course, we've got our cannabis radio news, and we've got headlines today coming to you from the international, national, and local scene. Maine looks like they may not vote on legalization this year. The Mexican drug cartels are taking a hit from legalization. There'll be a protest in Washington, D.C. to get Barack Obama on our side for legalization. Oregon small growers have a bill that's just about to be signed that should help them out. Three different initiatives may be voted on in Montana in 2016. And a pot shop in Portland is feeling the burn. We'll tell you which one when we come back.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Great create websites today, need expert web design and development, and need to be e-commerce ready and mobile friendly. But building a marketable and profitable website can be an uphill climb. Ready to make your new website or replace your existing website? Think Orange as the new way to get in the black. Orange Hill Development works with Fortune 500 companies and offer the same top quality development service at a fraction of what other providers charge. Brands like Absolute, Carlsberg, and Nestlé trust Orange Hill Development. Find out why you should trust your website with Orange Hill. Contact Orange Hill for a consultation today at orangehilldevelopment.com. Growing green to generate more green.
Hello to all you happy herbalizers, smiling trippy hippies, and everyone who believes in freedom and tolerance. This is The Grow Show, and I'm Kyle Cushman.
From food to fuel, from remedy to resource.
Welcome my guest, Ed Rosenthal, the guru of ganja. Let me ask you, right now I hear your lighter clicking. Are you smoking indoor or are you smoking sun grown?
What am I smoking? I'm smoking concentrate.
Way to get out of the answer there. So you're truly like the king, right? You just clap your hands and somebody brings you a bowl and you're all set, right?
I wish that were the case.
The Grow Show with Kyle Cushman, only on CannabisRadio.com.
The Fingerboard Extension has fretted instruments to enhance your creativity. It has new and used guitars and banjos from beginning to high class. The Fingerboard Extension has National Resophonic, Husson Dalton, Larrabee, Heritage and Recording King guitars, and Mike Ramsey Wildwood Gold Tone and Recording King banjos. The Fingerboard Extension also has drum stuff, used gear, and parts. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension, downtown Corvallis, Oregon at 120 Northwest 2nd, or check out the inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com and reverb.com.
It's time for the Cannabis Radio News. Covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Cannabis Radio News is now available exclusively at CannabisRadio.com. Now your marijuana headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds. This is Cannabis Radio News.
This is your Cannabis Radio News for Thursday, March 3rd, 2016. Supporters of a voter initiative to legalize marijuana in Maine have failed to collect enough valid signatures to qualify for the state ballot. Petition gatherers for the marijuana initiative delivered 51,543 valid signatures, about 9,500 signatures below the threshold, to the Maine Secretary of State office, as reported Wednesday. The office found 47,686 invalid signatures. Wednesday was the deadline for the Secretary of State's office to validate signatures. The failure of the marijuana initiative was the biggest surprise of the day, as a casino proposal was denied and a school funding measure was approved. The marijuana campaign on February 1st had delivered more than 99,000 signatures. David Boyer, manager of the campaign to regulate marijuana like alcohol, said documents provided by the Secretary of State's office indicate that more than 17,000 signatures on file were invalidated because of a single notary's signature that did not match the signatures on file. Legal marijuana may be doing one thing that a decades-long war on drugs could not, taking a bite out of Mexican drug cartels' profits. The latest data from the U.S. Border Patrol shows that this year, marijuana seizures along the southwest border tumbled to their lowest level in at least a decade. Agents snagged roughly 1.5 million pounds of marijuana at the border, down from a peak of nearly 4 million pounds in 2009. Quote, 2 or 3 years ago, a kilogram or 2.2 pounds of marijuana was worth $60 to $90, a Mexican marijuana grower told NPR News back in December of 2014. But now they are paying us $30 to $40 per kilogram. It's a big difference. If the U.S. continues to legalize pot, they'll run us into the ground, end quote. Inspired by a warning from comedian Bill Maher that progress on marijuana reform could be rolled back after President Obama leaves office, pot advocates in the nation's capital have announced a bold protest next month to press Obama to move on marijuana while he still can. Led by indomitable D.C. activist Adam Eidinger, the man behind the district's successful marijuana legalization initiative in 2014, the D.C. Cannabis Campaign is calling for supporters to gather in front of the White House to demand Obama reschedule marijuana through executive action, as he has the power to do, and pardon people jailed for marijuana crimes. A Attendees will be encouraged to fire up in acts of civil disobedience. The action is set for Saturday, April 2nd. A bill that would make it easier for some smaller medical marijuana growers to enter the regulated recreational market is headed to governor's desk after clearing the Oregon House Wednesday. Senate Bill 1598 passed in a 38-20 vote. The Oregon Senate approved the bill earlier this week. SB 1598 would allow certain growers to apply for a state recreational marijuana license without having to first obtain a land use compatibility statement. The provision is intended to help bring smaller growers into the regulated recreational marijuana system through a so-called micro-canopy license, which would come with lower fees and fewer requirements. The Montana Cannabis Industry Association is sponsoring an initiative they hope to get on the ballot this fall to fix the major restriction passed on medical marijuana by the legislature in 2011. The Medical Marijuana Initiative is awaiting approval from the Secretary of State, then on to the Attorney General. If approved, supporters will begin hitting the streets for the 25,000 signatures they'll need to get it on the ballot. If they get enough signatures, there could be three marijuana initiatives on the Montana November ballot. This one addressing medical marijuana, another one to make all marijuana legal, and a third one to make all marijuana illegal. A pot shop in Portland, Oregon announced it plans to donate a portion of its sales to Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders' presidential campaign, KGW-TV reported Wednesday. As part of the Burn One for Bernie campaign, the owner of Foster Buds, which has two dispensaries, said the business will donate 10% of sales from every $10 Farmer 12 joint sold to Sanders' campaign. Sanders supports medical marijuana and the decriminalization of recreational marijuana, as well as the right of states to opt for full legalization. This has been your Cannabis Radio News for Thursday, March 3rd, 2016. I'm Russ Belville.
Gondrepreneur.com, your guide to the cannabis business world. Gondrepreneur.com is a comprehensive resource for cannabis professionals and entrepreneurs. Download the Gondrepreneur app on your smartphone or tablet to catch up on cannabis industry news, scroll through our daily job listings, and learn about successful cannabis companies, executives, and investors. Gondrepreneur.com, helping gondrepreneurs grow.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Christian convictions are under attack as never before.
Okay. Maybe you're high, too.
We all know that Prohibition was a disaster. It forced alcohol into the underground market where it was controlled by criminals, and consumers did not know what they were getting. It made us a nation of hypocrites and lawbreakers. Marijuana prohibition has caused a lot of the same problems. That's why most Vermonters agree it's time for a more sensible approach. Tell your state senator it's time to end prohibition and start regulating marijuana in Vermont.
Don't want to spend money on a night out, but don't know what to do other than watching TV or playing video games? Consider playing guitar, bass, banjo, or mandolin. The instrument will give you hours of entertainment with friends with minimal expense. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension, downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today, or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
The world of cannabis is evolving at a frenetic pace. The Russ Belville Show gets behind the headlines to take a deeper look at breaking news in our Cannabis Focus.
Hey everybody, Radical Russ here at the Southwest Cannabis Conference and Expo Day 1, and we've run into a couple of people with a lot to tell us. Introduce yourself to the audience.
Hello, I'm Nisha Whiteley, the author of the book Chronic Relief, A Guide to Cannabis for the Terminally and Chronically Ill, and a canna professor.
And you are?
I'm Ian Benweis. I'm the High Council and Nisha's partner in the Canna Professors, educating Texas and the rest of the world on the power of cannabis.
Let's tell folks about your book.
Well, thank you very much. My book was written because my mother died of lung cancer, and at the end of her life, she utilized cannabis to help her through that process. And we were so amazed at what it did for her. Really, we were hopeful that it would just provide some relief for nausea and vomiting, but we were stunned. It reduced her agitation. She felt so much more comfortable in her own skin. And what it did for her also was to reduce pain significantly that the opiates couldn't touch. And, you know, it gave us the gift of her being present through the dying process.
Wow. I think there's a lot of people out there, even in Texas, that when they think of medical marijuana, they say, yeah, if you're about to die, we might as well let you get a little high and maybe ease the nausea. Was that your attitude? And then you found, oh, my God, it's doing more than just that.
You know, our attitude was that she was suffering, and there's no need for anyone to suffer when cannabis can help. And so I wrote this book because I needed that book at that time, and I didn't have it. I couldn't find it. You know, those books were available. I just didn't know where they were because everything was so underground. And I think it's time that we dissolve the cloud of shame, secrecy, and controversy around the use of this legitimate, science-based medicine.
Did you suffer any pushback or, you know, friends or family that were kind of shocked that you'd written this book?
That's a great question. People were supportive, but shocked. But at the same time, they seemed to be really ready for it. You know, my mother was somebody that always made people feel comfortable doing something that they might not otherwise do, especially if it was something that was good for them. And when they found out that my mom used cannabis and it was such a gift to her and us, people started to open their mind. And when they realized that cannabis is so safe, safer than aspirin, and you help them understand that our national cannabis policy is based in fear, ignorance, greed, and racism instead of science, then they start to open up a little bit and be ready to listen to what you have to say.
That's wonderful to hear. And here at the Southwest Cannabis Conference and Expo, we've got this huge Fort Worth Convention Center that just yesterday housed Donald Trump and Chris Christie. Yeah, I know. So what do you think? Do you think this is opening up Texas, that people are starting to get it?
I think so. And that's why Ian and I have created the Canna Professors and the cannabis class. It's really time that we elevate this conversation, and people are ready for the truth. And we have such an extraordinary body of science to begin with. And so, you know, in the last, I guess, 2 years, Texas has seen quite a change. We've had several pieces of legislation that had been presented at the legislature. One piece actually went into law. And although I don't think it's a very good law, it at least opens the door for us to start having a real conversation about the medical merits of cannabis. And Ian and I feel like everyone's ready and are starting to figure out that prohibition has nothing to do with the truth. And the truth is that cannabis is a safe and effective medicine.
Absolutely. Ian, can you tell us a little bit about the Canna Professors?
Sure. I've known Nisha for coming up on a year now. We met freestyling in Washington, D.C. in Senator Cornyn's office at the Americans for Safe Access Unity Conference. And from that friendship, like Nisha's been saying, we realized that there's this dearth of high-quality, complete, comprehensive information for the public around cannabis, the legality, the preparation, the medicine, the whole kind of story. And we wanted to be the people to deliver that, because people, there's so much programming, there's so much misinformation. And like you said, here now, this is coming above board in places like this here. Having this in Texas is, you know, what we need to do. We need to bring the discussion out in the open and elevate it.
So let's give people some information if they want to go online and find out more about your book.
Thank you. They can go to mychronicrelief.com, and it will be ready for purchase in April 2016.
Fantastic. And Canna Professors, any info for that?
I think right now if you go to mychronicrelief in a couple of days, you'll have a link to Canna Professors. We're going to be, I'm sorry, you're asking more about, like, what is it?
URL.
So www.cannaprofessors.com.
Well, see, that was too easy. Cannaprofessors.com. Well, Ian and Nisha, thank you so much for coming to the conference and sharing what you're doing with not only me, but the rest of the world. Your voices, your book, and teaching people, I think that's of prime importance. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Russ. Have a great day, man.
All right, stay tuned. We'll be back with more from the Southwest Cannabis Conference right after this.
Beer, beer.
All right, everybody. It's 20 after the hour. That means it's 4:20 in Denver, Colorado. Time for us to take a brief safety meeting. It's required by our union Local 420, you understand. Be back with more from Southwest Cannabis Conference, talking to two of the ladies of legalization from Dallas Women Grow, right after this.
The next generation of vaporizers has arrived. Vuber vaporizers are blazing the way with unparalleled technology for oil, concentrate, or dry flower pens. Providing unsurpassed customer service and expert craftsmanship, Vuber vaporizers use cutting-edge technology, providing a power-packed, smoother vapor with a lifetime guarantee. Experience vaporizing the way it was meant to be, the Vuber way.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
They're bringing drugs. They're bringing crime. They're rapists. And some, I assume, are good people.
Okay. Maybe you're high, too.
Doc Rob, the concierge for better living.
Cannabis is just one of the many great plants that we have on this planet called Earth that we can use consciously and intelligently to improve our well-being.
Take a real, raw, inside look at healthier living while sharing great ideas and improvements for a better quality of life.
Learning to live and live well is a lifelong process. This is a journey. You could be 80 years old or 8 years old. You can still learn something that's going to make tomorrow a little bit healthier, a little bit easier, a little bit happier, a little bit better.
The Concierge for Better Living with Doc Rob. Only on CannabisRadio.com.
Russ Belville Show is proudly sponsored by the Marijuana Business Association. The MJBA, called by NBC News the Cannabis Chamber of Commerce, is the fastest growing business association in the fastest growing industry in America. I've been working with the MJBA for years, and I personally invite you to join the MJBA. MJBA also publishes the popular MJ Headline News on Facebook and the MJNewsNetwork.com, and Marijuana Channel 1 on YouTube. Visit MJBA.net for more details. In 1929, Pauline Sabin began the women's movement to end alcohol prohibition. 4 years later, the 21st Amendment was passed. Women are crucial to ending adult marijuana prohibition, and we celebrate women's marijuana activism in a segment we call Ladies of Legalization. We go back to the DFW area to meet two members of Dallas Women Grow. Radical Russ here at the Southwest Cannabis Conference and Expo at the very busy Women Grow booth, and there are women galore at the Women Grow booth. I'm going to see if I can talk to one. It's Hannah, hello, at the Women Grow booth.
Hi.
And?
Kate Morgan with Women Grow, Public Relations.
All right, so is this the local Dallas chapter?
Yes, this is.
We actually have women here from Austin, Dallas, all over Texas.
San Diego, Michigan. Everybody's come in for this. We're so incredibly happy and excited that people want to be with Women Grow Dallas and learn about cannabis and actually be in this industry. We are just so proud that Texas is actually welcoming us to Fort Worth.
It's amazing. I do events all over the country in green states. This is my first one in a red state, and I'm amazed at the turnout. Does this surprise you that people are so interested in this here?
No.
Not a bit.
We knew it was completely here. That's why we decided to do it in Fort Worth. Fort Worth is a very forward-thinking area where they believe in growth and trends, and they're seeing this and they're understanding that there is something here. There is medical value here. There is businesses. There is hemp. There is fossil fuel. We are going to do something with this industry, and Texas needs to get on board. Women Grow is here to do that, to help them find those rules and regulations and bring them to fruition. That's what we're doing.
I think one of the exciting things about the cannabis industry is it's a brand new industry. We're getting to build it from the ground up. With that in mind, do you find the cannabis industry to be more or less welcoming to women? Is there a grass ceiling, so to speak?
I think that women have a unique opportunity now
in the universe, I'll say, to stand up for their rights. We've had a lot of women that have come before us that have made the way for women to be entrepreneurs, to stand up and say, I believe in something. And women can end prohibition. We can change the reputation of an entire industry to be positive, healthy, and forward thinking. And I think we're in a unique position to enter this market and really, I wouldn't say dominate, because that's not what women do, but to really make it enveloping and warm and show the world what cannabis is for. And it's the female plant, and it's meant to be welcoming, and it's meant to be healing. And I think there's no better spokesperson than a bunch of amazing women.
I concur on that respect. And one of the things I've always found interesting in the cannabis industry, and just cannabis in general, is it tends to be a male-dominated thing. Not just in the business sense, but when you look at the statistics, more men tend to use cannabis than women, or at least admit to it. So what do you think we need to do as far as getting women on board with this? I mean, Women Grow is doing such a great job, but what are some of the stigma we need to overcome for women to embrace this more fully?
I think it's women each standing up and saying, I believe that I am a powerful force in my community, in my school, in my church, in my environment, and that I'm willing to take a step and say, for the health of this community, I will step up. For the health of my mother, my grandmother, my aunt, my child, I will stand up. And I think that's what it takes, is each individual person, each individual woman, to stand up in their community and be the representative. That you can't look at me and say, oh, she's a pothead.
Well, definitely, we're on radio, obviously, but looking at all of you here with the Women Grow, I mean, just professional looking and intelligent and strong. And you're doing such a great job in changing those perceptions of marijuana. Do you believe that's part of what is making Women Grow explode so quickly?
I do. I believe the perception is changing drastically, and that's why we're bringing to the brand a very professional atmosphere. Like, look around us. Everybody is dressed to the nine. We look like we are here for business. And people are coming, and we are connecting, we are educating, and we are empowering each individual person that comes to us. And we're trying to do the FaceTime to let them know they're not alone. You need to stand up, and you need to be talking to your representatives. You need to be a part of MPP. You need to be a part of Texas Normal with Operation Trap. You need to be a part of these organizations. They are your local areas that need your support. Women Grow is here to connect you to those local areas. We are one unit. We are one fight. Sorry, the military is coming out of me right there. United States Navy veteran right here. So I'm going to make that what I've learned from the government. I'm going to use it. I'm going to come in here and I'm going to be one of those leaders and let them know that you taught me an amazing thing, government. Now let me shine with the women of Women Grow.
That's great to hear, and thanks for your service. We appreciate that. So for people in the Dallas-Fort Worth area that want to get involved with you, give them out the contact info.
Okay, we're at Women Grow Dallas. You can find us on Facebook, also on Instagram. We will be having on March 3rd at Roland Safe, our first signature event for the month. We're going to be talking about the importance of a marijuana safe versus a gun safe. And the Roland is one of our sponsors, and we really, really want you to come out to this. It's going to be in Addison, Texas. We need you there. We want you there. We want to connect. We want to educate. We want to empower. If people want to come and they don't want to be photographed, we're going to give out wristbands so the photographer will know not to photograph you. But we want you to be a part of us. We understand that Texas is a conservative state. Doesn't mean it's a closed-minded state. So we need to make sure that we talk to those conservatives. We reach out to them, and we say we're doing it the right way. Right of assembly, the right to lobby, the right to find out and ask questions and be able to have our choice. We need our choice back, and only the people can do that.
I'm glad you brought that up, brought out people's rights. I think a lot of Texans wouldn't know that if you are known to be a cannabis consumer, you don't have any Second Amendment rights anymore. You lose your right to purchase guns and ammo. So that's just one I think of that might come across to Texans, and maybe the farming aspect with industrial hemp. Are there other things you think Texans are getting wise to here? I know the story of Alexis has gotten a lot of people's attention.
Alexis is true to our heart. That's one of the things when I first started watching Facebook and figuring out where did I want to align myself in this movement. This movement is coming with or without you. So you either get on this train or you're really going to have a problem when this industry explodes. You need to do it now. Not in 2017 when this becomes legal. Now. You need to be being a part of us. And Team Alexis, they are doing one of the most fabulous things. They are making awareness to the biggest problem, our children. When you feel so incredibly helpless, when you see your child seizing in front of you, that is the worst feeling in the world. And what their parents did was go and figure out a new option. My brother's a severe quadriplegic. my parents did every single Charlinson, person said the magic pill, everything. If there had been this in, 36 years ago for my brother, the pain that he's in today would be minute compared to the pharmaceutical medication that he has to take every day. So yes, I agree. Team Alexis is vital. MPP is vital. Women Grow is vital. Houston Normal, Texas Normal, the veterans, we need everybody. We're an inclusive organization. Everybody.
Glad to hear it. Women Grow taking off here in Dallas. Check out Women Grow Dallas. And ladies, thanks for taking this time to talk to our audience.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate the opportunity, and you are fabulous.
Thank you so much. Appreciate that. Stay tuned, folks. We'll be back with more from Southwest Cannabis Conference and Expo right after this.
It was great talking to the women from Women Grow there, Dallas Fort Worth chapter. You can find Women Grow online. Just search for it. You'll find it. And it's not limited to just women. Men are welcome as well. Great organization where you can meet a lot of great people, get some networking done, and get to work in the cannabis industry. Stay tuned, folks. We're going to have an extended radical rant coming up next. And we're going to go a little off the reservation, not just talking about pot, but there's a tangential connection. The problem with Hillary is that I don't vote for Republicans. Extended rant coming up next.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Gondrepreneur.com, your guide to the cannabis business world. Gondrepreneur.com is a comprehensive resource for cannabis professionals and entrepreneurs. Download the Gondrepreneur app on your smartphone or tablet to catch up on cannabis industry news, scroll through our daily job listings, and learn about successful cannabis companies, executives, and investors. Gondrepreneur.com, helping gondrepreneurs grow.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
I do not like them, Sam. I am. I do not like green eggs and ham.
Okay. Maybe you're high, too.
Midnight, July 1st, 2015, adult marijuana prohibition came to an end in Oregon. Immediately, over 400,000 adults who consume cannabis responsibly were no longer criminals. This is what freedom sounds like. Brought to you by Portland Normal.
Everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
Must wage what I have called total war against public enemy number one.
I support a change in law to end federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
That marijuana, pot, grass, whatever you want to call it, is probably the most dangerous drug.
Some think there won't be room for them in jail. We'll make room.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it, and didn't inhale.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Radical rant.
The problem with Hillary Clinton is I don't vote Republican. I get all sorts of comments about this since I have posted my piece at Huffington Post, where I explained that people like me, who will never vote for Hillary Clinton in the general election, are being called the Bernie or bust crowd. And I just wanted to point out that is me.
I'm a big supporter of Bernie Sanders. I think he's a once-in-a-generation transformative candidate. And I will never vote for Hillary Clinton. Now, the mainstream media is pushing this, that Hillary Clinton's got it all sewn up because she won Super Tuesday and she's got all these superdelegates. And whatever we do, we just can't have a President Donald Trump. So, if you don't line up and vote for Hillary, that equals a President Trump. And letting that happen means you're a goddamn moron who deserves not one ounce of respect for throwing your pouty little tantrum like a petulant child. At least what some of the Hillary supporters have written. And, of course, calling me names is a great way to bring me across to your way of thinking. But a better way is to use reason. See, I've voted Democrat all my life because I hold progressive positions on civil rights, health care, foreign policy, criminal justice, and the environment. And that gives me plenty of reasons to not vote for Republicans. I don't vote for Republicans because I don't want to see more U.S. soldiers dying in the Middle East for some regime change. I don't vote for Republicans because they'll put the same mega banks in charge of the Treasury that destroyed our economy the last time they were in charge of the Treasury. I don't vote for Republicans because I've always supported gay people's civil liberties, and Republicans generally don't, and the few moderate ones that do only barely came around to supporting gay marriage because the polling now supports it. I don't vote Republican because they keep telling me they need more research to believe cannabis is medicine. I don't vote Republican because they institute terrible free trade deals that destroy jobs and wages. I don't vote Republican because they support the increase of fracking, that hydrofracking technology worldwide, which is environmentally disastrous. I don't vote Republican because they don't believe that America can be like every other modern democracy and provide universal health care coverage. I don't vote Republican because they enjoy and exploit the campaign finance shenanigans made legal by Citizens United. I don't vote Republican because they think a $15 minimum wage is too damn high. There ought to be no minimum wage, but if there is a minimum wage, some of the more moderate ones will say it should only be $12 an hour. I don't vote Republican because they endorse and approve of the National Security Agency's warrantless spying on American citizens. I don't vote Republican because they created and supported the USA Patriot Act that, as you know, is used far more often against so-called drug crimes than it was ever used against terrorism. I don't vote Republican because they believe that the era of big government is over and they work to destroy welfare as we know it. I don't vote Republican because they believe in being tough on crime to the point of supporting the mass incarceration of mostly black and brown people. I don't vote Republican because they use racist dog whistles like calling black kids super predators that we have to bring to heel. I don't vote Republican because they oppose closing Guantanamo Bay. I don't vote Republican because they want to cut Social Security, or at the very least, the more moderate ones refuse to consider lifting the income cap on contributions to make rich people pay their fair share. I don't vote Republican because people with net worth that requires two or three commas to print don't understand what people like me go through living paycheck to paycheck. I don't vote Republican because I can't stand privatized prisons and they take a lot of campaign donations from them. I don't vote Republican because if we're not going to have socialism for the poor, why should I support those who voted to bail out the big banks with that socialism and then refuse to break them up? And not even prosecute any of them that destroyed our economy through fraud and theft. I don't vote Republican because they supported the bankruptcy bill that made it harder for poor people like me to discharge debt, while their hyper-rich friends make use of bankruptcy restructuring all the time. I don't vote Republican because they oppose reinstating the Glass-Steagall Act that would separate investment and commercial banking. I don't vote Republican because they support the death penalty. I don't vote Republican because they vote for stupid things like a border fence with Mexico. I don't vote Republican because they get most of their campaign donations from big banks instead of typical Democratic sources like unions. And I don't vote Republican because they would lock up Edward Snowden and throw away the key for exposing how our government has been violating our constitutional rights. So right there's 25 pretty good reasons why me, a Democrat, won't vote for a Republican, don't you think? So why would I vote for Hillary Clinton, the moderate Rockefeller Republican who exemplifies every one of those last 25 statements? I can see disagreeing with a candidate on 3 or 4 or 6 issues, but 25? If Donald Trump wins the presidency over Hillary Clinton, it's not the fault of people like me who won't vote for Republicans. It's the fault of the Democratic Party for nominating a Republican. For me, the horror of a 4-year Trump term is less frightening than cementing in the far-right, center-right corporate duopoly in American politics that was created when Hillary's husband sold out the Democratic principles on welfare, crime, race, labor, trade, drugs, and the media. You remember the tale of the frogs in the pot of water? You know, you turn the heat up slowly and the frogs will boil to death, but if you put them in an already boiling pot, they'll hop out. Well, Donald Trump is the boiling pot, and Hillary Clinton is the slow heat. A President Trump in 2016 equals a President Warren in 2020. A President Clinton in 2016 equals a re-elected Clinton in 2020, and then the next milquetoast Obama-like speechifier in 2024 who abandons all his talk the minute he's inaugurated. You remember Mr. Hope and Change's promise to be the most transparent government ever, with live cameras covering the debates on public option healthcare? Remember his promise to be closing Guantanamo Bay or, quote, we're not going to be using Justice Department resources to go after medical marijuana, end quote. Remember all that? Look, I've made all the arguments that my opponents are throwing at me now. But after candidate Obama teased me with hope and change and then left me with drone bombing, torturers and banksters running free, Romney care, mass deportations, warrantless wiretapping, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, and a neocon Secretary of State who now wants my vote, I've changed my mind. I used to be practical and pragmatic. Oh, it's a two-party system. It sucks, but that's the reality. You have to pick the lesser of two evils. And what about the Supreme Court? Yeah, I've made all those arguments. But then I saw what it got me. Picking the lesser of two evils allows the evil to become more evil and entices the good to become less good. I mean, Hillary Clinton is to the right of Dwight Eisenhower and Richard Nixon, for God's sake. And Ted Cruz or Donald Trump are so far to the right of Ronald Reagan and George W. Bush, they can't even be seen. Isn't it strange how always picking evil has led to more evil? What I see now at 4 dozen years old is that any one presidential term isn't going to kill us. We survived 8 years of George W. Bush, and though it did us a lot of harm and killed thousands of us, he didn't appoint himself dictator and abolish the Supreme Court or anything crazy that the left wing was predicting in the second term of W's reign. Democracy still continued. In fact, W wrecked things so badly, white people could even consider voting for an unknown black Kenyan socialist Muslim named Hussein. So as I see it, before my political lifetime, we had Democrats who stood for the poor and voiceless against the Republicans who stood for the rich and powerful. The Democrats I think of as embodying that spirit are Franklin Roosevelt, Lyndon Johnson, and Jimmy Carter. It was the party of the people versus the party of business. Labor versus management. Proletariat versus bourgeois. It was a fine arrangement that provided the kind of balance necessary to create the great middle-class prosperity that existed in the mid-20th century. But since Bill Clinton came up with his third way, our politics have become the party of Wall Street and tech versus the party of Wall Street and oil. Bill Clinton's the end of big government as we know it and three strikes and you're out policies drove a stake through any semblance of the Democratic Party representing the needs of the poor and the voiceless. With age, I've developed perspective that this isn't about four-year presidential terms, but generational pendulum swings. Republicans and their Tea Party uprising have swung that pendulum as far right as they can because they demanded ideological purity from their candidates. Democrats have allowed that pendulum to swing by not offering solid Democratic alternatives, but instead caving in to offer Republican-lite alternatives. Well, it's time for our Tea Party uprising. But we lefties aren't as hierarchical and authoritarian as the righties, so it's manifested in different ways. We do Occupy Wall Street and Black Lives Matter, and the Democratic establishment can't hear it. The Bernie Sanders phenomenon isn't about the man, as much as it is about him as the focal point for a collective left-wing aching for somebody in power to hear our voices. You know, since we don't have six figures to hand out in speaking fees to make our voice heard. Using the specter of President Trump to extort us into supporting Hillary Clinton isn't going to work because we all understand it's the rigged system, stupid. Asking us to support the saner bribe taker doesn't mean much to us because we don't get to pay the bribes anyway. Now, as people who support Hillary have told me, Bernie will never get his agenda past the Congress. So I'm supposed to believe Hillary, who is hated in greater number and ferocity by the GOP, she'd get things accomplished? No, she'll take the same Obama tack of abandoning any real progressive position, instead starting her negotiation in the center and then caving in to most of the Republican polls to the right, just so she can point to an accomplishment. And don't even get me started on the trustworthiness of Hillary Clinton. Yeah, sure, tell me it's all the fault of the right-wing smear machine and I'll shoot it down like sniper fire over Bosnia. You really want to blame a possible Clinton election loss on us in the left when she'd be the least trusted, most hated candidate we've ever fielded? And she's in the middle of a Democratic administration's FBI investigating her over the release of classified materials on an email server she kept at her house. Or her office, I should say. So you can call this a little pouty tantrum, but I call it finally taking a stand against the continued rightward slide of the Democratic Party. If we keep rewarding the Democratic Party for being less evil, they'll just continue to be less good. And so I've gotten a lot of response from this post about why I won't vote for Hillary Clinton. Here's my answer to some of the basic responses I get. One response is, well, you're insuring a President Trump. If you're not voting for Hillary, well, you might as well be voting for Trump. Nope. Sorry, that doesn't work. It's really quite simple math. If Hillary and Trump are the nominees, then on election day, Hillary will get plus zero votes from me, and Trump will get plus zero votes from me. What will guarantee a President Trump is if he collects one more vote than Hillary in enough states to earn 270 Electoral College votes. What this scare line really says to me is that Hillary sucks so badly, you're afraid she can't beat a racist, homophobic, misogynist, xenophobic, Islamophobic, real estate mogul / TV reality star with zero political experience. If Hillary can't beat that without my vote, she's got bigger problems. Of course, if this was a real candidate, if she'd nominated an actual Democrat, if we put Bernie Sanders in, this would be a landslide victory, and all the polls so far show it, that Bernie Sanders does far better against the Republican candidates than Hillary Clinton. Oh, but what about the Supreme Court? Oh, the Supreme Court! We can't let the Supreme Court go. Well, what makes anybody think Hillary's going to nominate anybody less pro-corporate than John Roberts? Remember how terrible Bush's new Chief Justice was going to be? And yet, he upheld Obamacare. Anybody Hillary nominates is going to be pro-business and socially moderate in order for her to get that person through the Senate. If we do nothing about the business stranglehold on politics, we could have all the civil rights in the world, but we'll have no affordable education, healthcare, or decent job market to enjoy them in. And the scare that a Republican is going to give us the worst Supreme Court justices ever is really a 50-50 proposition. The last six Supreme Court justices nominated by Republicans are the odious three, Scalia, Thomas, and Alito, but you also got Kennedy, Roberts, and Souter, David Souter, who turned out to be somewhat moderate. So I'm not scared of this Supreme Court problem. And if the Democratic Party would finally grow some testicles and spine and start playing hardball like the Republicans do, they could gum up any of those far-right nominations like the Republicans gum up any of the far-left nominations. I love this next one. They say, well, you know Bernie's going to support Hillary. If he doesn't get the nomination, he'll support Hillary. Well, yeah, good for Bernie. But you can't criticize me for following my cult leader Bernie and then get mad when I don't follow my cult leader Bernie. Bernie can vote however he wants to vote. Politicians often make these odious choices. I mean, Bernie supported that terrible crime bill in the 90s. He says he did it to keep the parts with the Violence Against Women Act. But still, he made a choice to support that terrible crime bill that ended up locking up black and brown people in mass incarceration. And besides, Bernie's 74 years old. He might not live to see the rebound from President Trump. So on this issue, Bernie and I disagree. He believes preventing a President Trump is absolutely paramount. I believe that Trump isn't as harmful as the Clintonistas want us to believe. Look, folks, there is a reason that the GOP establishment hates Donald Trump's guts. And there's a piece by George Lakoff, and George Lakoff is one of my ideological heroes. He's the father of framing. He knows all about that neurolinguistic programming and so forth. He's got an article up called Why Trump, and he points out that Trump likes Planned Parenthood, Social Security, and Medicare. He's been defending them on the stump. Republicans don't usually do that. Republicans hate eminent domain and love the Trans-Pacific Partnership. He's got the opposite view on that. He's not religious, not like a lot of those Republicans are. He thinks the health insurance and pharmaceutical companies and military contractors are making too much profit. Now, I'm not endorsing Trump by any means. His views on Muslims and Mexicans and women and are just terrible. They're odious. They're awful. I would never vote for Donald Trump. But I'm not as scared of Donald Trump as the Clinton people want me to be, because I think he would nominate fairly moderate judges, and I think on social issues he'd have a fairly moderate position. Now, the thing is, if we got a Trump in office, and if he made serious moves to restrict or rescind gay rights, women's rights, or even marijuana rights, all that's going to do is further inflame the younger voters who will increasingly decide future elections. They'll get pissed off and mad about it. By 2020, they'll be ready to vote for President Elizabeth Warren. Severe restrictions would do more to swing the pendulum toward progressivism than anything that Hillary's constant capitulation to the business right would do. See, I see this as bigger than Hillary versus Trump. I see this as oligarchy versus democracy. Whether it's the allegedly benevolent oligarchy of Hillary or the supposedly malevolent oligarchy of Trump, we're still going to have oligarchy. The benevolent oligarchy is that slowly warming pot. Sure, the Democrats will let us gay marry and abort pregnancies and smoke pot. Yay! So we give them a pass as they keep empowering Wall Street, big pharma, health insurance, and the military-industrial complex? The malevolent oligarchy is the boiling pot. Remember the last time they were in charge? They let terrorists hit us on 9/11, they let people drown in New Orleans, and they crashed the economy? It was bad enough that people actually voted for Obama, who was talking about public option healthcare, transparent government, and prosecuting the previous administration's torturers.
The malevolent oligarchy messed up so bad that candidate Obama was drawing then record crowds and securing then record individual small donations. And remember, Trump is actually willing to call out George W. Bush for making the blockbuster mistake of invading Iraq. That's better than you're going to hear from any other Republican. Of course, some people can't criticize my piece without playing the race card. That the terrible things that will happen because of Trump will be on my hands because I'm a privileged straight white man. My privilege is showing. Yeah, because I'm straight white and male, nothing bad Trump could do would ever affect me. Never mind that I'm homeless, I don't own a car, I work on spec with no health care, because sorry, Obamacare is too expensive, but I make too much for Medicaid. And no retirement plan, of course. And never mind that my father's on Social Security disability. Never mind I've got a childbearing aged niece. Never mind my lesbian friends and my black family. Look, I understand the arguments being made. And yes, they'd affect my friends, my family, and even me too. Especially on the marijuana front. Legalization's my job. Trump could appoint Attorney General Christie to send the DEA in to shut down legal marijuana commerce. But after Obama said he'd leave medical alone and then presided over the most medical marijuana raids in history, why should I trust Hillary on this issue? Hell, Hillary's husband's administration tried to take down medical marijuana by going after doctors' free speech rights, and marijuana arrests more than doubled over his two terms. But nothing that affects me or my family and friends is going to change significantly under the rigged system we have now. Even Hillary admits her goal is to merely hold off the GOP from undoing any of the good things that have been accomplished under Obama because she knows the system's rigged. Besides, if I have to be responsible for the imagined carnage a President Trump might cause, Hillary's supporters need to wash the blood of hundreds of thousands of Iraqis off their hands first, then offer a few thousand apologies to soldiers' families for not finding any WMD. They can also apologize to my lesbian friends for having to delay their wedding when Hillary's husband passed the Defense of Marriage Act and Hillary gave cover to every homophobe who wanted to deny their rights. Then, some apologies for blacks over-incarcerated due to the crime bill she championed as a way to deal with super predators. Then, some apologies to poor folks who lost their homes when the banks collapsed thanks to her husband's repeal of Glass-Steagall. Some apologies to the laborers who lost their jobs when NAFTA shipped them off to Mexico. And I could go on and on with some real, actual Clinton harms, if you want to name a few more imagined future Trump harms. Finally, they'll tell me that Hillary and Bernie agree on 90% of everything. Whoopee! Did you know we humans are 98% similar in DNA to chimpanzees? Amazing how that different 2% can make two wildly different species, huh? Yes, Hillary and Bernie both agree voting should be easier, gay people should get married. I mean, at least since 2013, Hillary believes that. Middle class wages should rise, minimum wage should be higher, Muslims aren't all terrorists, Mexicans aren't all rapists, and so forth. But telling me Hillary agrees with some of the most basic things a Democrat should espouse isn't the issue. It's ignoring the fact that she agrees with so much of the basic things a Republican would espouse that is the issue for me. The disagreements are the issue. Cozying up for six-figure speaking fees with the big banks that wreck the economy, even after telling them to cut it out, makes me believe Hillary would behave more as a Republican would toward those big banks. Her appetite for Middle East regime change tells me she'd act like a neocon in foreign policy. Voting for the bankruptcy bill and requiring debt-free tuition that requires college students' work tells me she'd still treat poor people like her welfare-busting husband did in the 90s. Taking public option healthcare off the table and further integrating the health insurance industry into for-profit healthcare, backed by government fines and non-compliance, was Mitt Romney's idea. And ignoring the massive public opinion and growing scientific evidence on medical marijuana by offering a we need more research stalling tactic is something Republicans do. I will never vote for Hillary Clinton. That's all the time we got for today. Thanks for joining us. Stay tuned for hour two. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it.